Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine one subject in the news, and that is the revolution going on in Egypt. Since the revolution in Egypt is being driven by young people who are taking to the streets because they feel their future has been stolen by Mubarak and his cronies, we'll begin in a moment and get the perspective of Jessica El-Sayed, a young 17-year-old reporter in Alexandria, Egypt, who was a senior reporter with Youth Journalism International. Then we will talk with Samia Sarageldin in Cairo. She wrote the autobiographical novel The Cairo House that traces political developments in Egypt over the past three decades. She will give us an update on what is happening in Cairo. And then for a broader perspective on the momentous changes underway in the Arab world and the extent to which demands for freedom and democracy will spread, we'll be joined by Ambassador Clovis Maksoud, the Arab League's former ambassador to the United States and the United Nations. Let's now go to Alexandria, Egypt. I'm speaking with Jessica El-Sayed, who's a 17-year-old student in Alexandria, Egypt. She's a senior reporter with Youth Journalism International. And Jessica, today I take it the military showed up in the streets. And what you've reported is that the looting that's going on is actually being conducted by the police. And that's, of course, not what is being reported, particularly in Egypt.
Well, yes, they have been looting the streets, public and private property, have been secured by normal citizens since last night. And many of the people that they've caught and took out their ID cards, they found that they work with the police, some even with the secret police. This is, of course, like you said, the complete opposite of what's being even said in the Egyptian state television. The people are the ones that are protecting everything. So this is why everyone is trusting what they're having to say and not necessarily what the TV says. They cut off Al Jazeera, which is the main television channel that people here watch. So it's for some simple citizens, it's even hard to get the truth out of what's happening. But mostly people are living with the event, and they're down in the streets either protecting their houses or protesting. And that's pretty much the sense that we have right now.
And Jessica El-Sayed, I believe that a lot of Egyptians feel that the release of the prisoners and the fact that, as you've reported, the police and the secret police are behind a lot of the looting, that is a tactic on Mubarak's part to create chaos so that he can then justify his strong hand and the need for law and order. Is that your analysis?
I believe this is correct. Lots of people here believe this is correct. We all believe that Mubarak is... He's the one that is, he and his regime are trying to stir terror in the people. He's trying to scare them into just silencing themselves and going back home. Because he's terrified, because this has been the first time he's been in office, that the people have gathered together in numbers large enough to have their voices heard. I heard lots of reports say that the inmates that are running out of police out of prisons were not, some of them of course were escaping, but others were they were forced to leave because since yesterday there have been no police in the country whatsoever, at least in my city of Alexandria and Cairo and Suez. Police are nowhere to be found, so people in the prisons, the inmates, have no food, have no water. There's just, they have access to nothing. So they had to leave. It wasn't necessarily, I mean, some of the prisoners have called news channels here and told their stories, and as an Egyptian myself, I believe them above any responsible figure in the Egyptian regime.
Again, I'm speaking with Jessica El-Sayed, who's a 17-year-old student in Alexandria, Egypt. She's a senior reporter with Youth Journalism International. Just to touch on the military, Jessica, I understand that there's a real dilemma there. On the one hand, the people welcome the military. They hate the police. They respect the military. But if the military is forced to create law and order because Mubarak has ordered the police to in effect create chaos, do you foresee a problem there, or what's your understanding of the relationships between the people on the streets and the military on the streets?
Well, there's still a state of confusion about that specific issue here. Even for us, because one moment we were all trusting that the military was standing with the people. We've had a curfew since 4 p.m. Our curfew starts at 4 p.m. here in Alexandria and Cairo and Suez. Yet the people just were on the street. Now there's about 100,000 people in Al-Tahrir Square in Cairo. So everyone felt that the military was not trying to suppress the protests. They weren't violent with the people. People were trying to help them, actually. And then later on today, there were military Air Force airplanes and a couple of helicopters that were flying across the Al-Tahrir Square in Cairo, and also a couple passed by here in Alexandria. Very close to the ground, very, very near to the protesters. We believe that it happened because Mubarak wants to scare, like I said before, the protesters into going home. And the complete opposite happened because the more this happened, the more an airplane passed by them, the cheers were louder. The people didn't move an inch. They're very, very determined to stay there until the dictator is down.
And the dictator's cronies, I mean, I take it, the what I keep seeing in the coverage, and as you reported, Jessica El-Sayed, that Al Jazeera has been cut off, but there's still some coverage we see here in the U.S. The refrain that you keep hearing from the young people in the streets is that Mubarak and his cronies have stolen their future. And one very eloquent and angry young man was saying, these are spoiled people. They have taken all the jobs, all the money. They are spoiled. I thought it was very touching. So does that agree with your sense of what's happening there and what's motivating the young people?
Yes. The Hosni Mubarak and his regime have been stealing people's rights for years. They've been stealing young people's opportunities for years. There's no place for anyone who does not have power in government or excessive wealth to have any chance to do anything productive with their lives here. Some of my friends and even relatives have graduated from college 7 years ago and still can't find jobs. The educational system is a reflection of his dictatorship in the sense that even lesson plans are made to suppress people and say that the Egyptian state is stable. There's nothing wrong with it. We've had a 7,000-year-old civilization, and just rubbing off on that and not allowing any space for anything new. I think, like I've said with the piece on YJIblog.org, was that someone who was born 30 years ago has seen nothing but him, has seen no change whatsoever. That's the state with all the youth here. They're very frustrated. There's no opportunity for them to think about. People here don't have dreams, really, if you ask someone and say, well, what are your dreams? Sometimes most of the time, there's just no answer because they understand that the road is blocked, that every opportunity that there is for them to have is taken by someone with higher connections. the National Democratic Party is the most corrupted, I think, party in, I mean, at least in the world, maybe because I'm emotional, but some of its members, a lot of its members are actually businessmen, like Ahmed Ez, who fled yesterday and his wife to London, because they know, because they understand what they've done. He owns the monopoly for a steel and iron company in Egypt, and in one day he raised steel from 3,000 Egyptian pounds to 5,000 Egyptian pounds because he has that power. And it's just known, business and politics cannot go hand in hand, at least in Egypt, without an excessive state of corruption.
And Jessica, what do you know about reports that the designated heir by Mubarak, his son Gamal, fled some time ago in a private jet with his family, supposedly for London as well?
Yes, we have heard about that this statement yesterday. Everyone believed it, and as soon as we heard it, I mean, we heard, you know, streets cheering and people cheering because he was, I mean, one of the major concerns. For the past couple of years, everyone has been saying that he would be the successor in the coming September elections. So the fact that he's gone is a relief, but we're still just anticipating reassurance that he's gone forever. Yaron Mubarak, although he's never come out and said that I'm going to run for president, even despite that, there's been posters in my city, posters in Cairo, posters everywhere saying, yes, we support you. And those posters are made by officials in the government, officials in the police, just to brainwash people into thinking that it's okay. Lots of people from the NDP come on TV and say that he has all right to run for president. It's the same as him running as anyone else, which is completely false. Our constitution leaves no space for almost, I mean, anyone to have the right qualifications to run for president. And that's one of the main demands for the people protesting today, is that the Constitution needs to change, the whole regime needs to change, not just specific individuals in the government.
And again, I'm speaking with Jessica El-Sayed, who's a 17-year-old student in Alexandria, Egypt. She's a senior reporter with Youth Journalism International, and her latest report is available online at ygiblog.org. Is that right? That's the right address?
YGI. I'm sorry.
YGI, yeah. Or J-I, yeah, J, for journalism, Youth Journalism International, yjiblog.org. And in your latest piece that I think I congratulate you on the clarity of your writing, it's very, very, really great reporting, you say that Egyptians are very upset with U.S. President Barack Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for failing to back them. The Americans must choose between the Egyptian people and the government. Is that a widespread feeling amongst Egyptians?
Yes, I believe so. It's not necessarily a feeling that I have or my family. It's even today when the man of the moment right now, Mohamed Ebrahde, was on CNN, he stated it himself. He just expressed all of Egypt's frustration. It just, why can he not come out and say, down with the dictator? Why the support? We're confused. We don't understand. We see America as, everyone here sees America as the beacon of freedom. We see them as the people that have liberty, they have rights, they understand what it means to have real liberty. And it was just so surprising for us not surprising, but upsetting, I guess, like I said before. Today, Hillary Clinton came out and spoke again, but still, no one is satisfied. She says the transition of power needs to be peaceful. Well, we understand, of course, we want peaceful transition of power, but what she doesn't understand is that we do not want transition of power in people. I think she means the transition of the government, like what has happened. President Mubarak has changed a couple of officials in the government. But then he replaced them with military officials in the Air Force, who he himself is an Air Force official. So again, there's still no change. That was a peaceful transition, and that's what Hillary Clinton called for, and that's not necessarily at all what we want. We want him to leave, not just decline from office. We want him to leave the country. Lots of people, including myself, want him to be trialed because not even for the past, but for the past week. Today's the sixth day of protests and riots, and everything that has been ruined in Egypt. I mean, they came into the Egyptian museum and broke the heads off mummies and some of the inmates. And the Egyptian state television will make you think that this was the work of rioters and protesters to make you think that that's what we're out to do, destroy the country. Even though what we know and what we believe is that some of the police had specific instructions to go and do specifically that, because they didn't steal things from the museum. They just broke it. And lots of poor Egyptians don't even understand, even though they're Egyptian, don't understand the value of these these symbols of our culture. So that was planned. It's difficult to watch the model for someone who says, freedom for all, not stand for the freedom of the people, of our people.
Well, Jessica, I must say that in fact, in response to your writing at yjiblog.org, the people that have responded to your piece, one of them here in the United States, says, "Your story and the story of the Egyptian people is truly inspiring. As an American, I'm ashamed that the U.S. has supported Mubarak for so many years, and doubly ashamed that we're not doing more to support this revolution. I wish you all the best." So that indicates that the American people are not the same as the American government, just as clearly the case is in Egypt, that the Egyptian people are quite different from the Egyptian government. It does feel in many ways that even though you just... It's depressing, I must say, that the government is so out of touch with the people in both the United States and in Egypt.
Yes, I do understand. It's very common now, I think, with the misinterpretations of the media and things like that, to make faulty generalizations that lead to times like when times like this come. It's difficult for the government to get the message.
Isn't he a particularly remote and paranoid figure? He's kind of in a state of delusion, Mubarak. He's ruled this country for 30 years, and he simply doesn't seem to understand what's happening on the streets. His cronies seem to understand because they've gotten out of town with all the money that they could steal.
Yeah. We're so used to seeing him be so power thirsty that we're not necessarily shocked from this. We know that it's going to be a hard battle. Till now, I know that today being the sixth day is nothing. That this may keep going till the end of the month if it has to, but it has to be bad before it gets good. The way I see it, Mubarak is completely. I think he's. I don't know how this could happen to a human being, but he's completely brainwashed to think that because he has a couple of supporters in the government who are filthy rich, because he's corrupted them that way, that he's allowed them to live a life where they can't say anything. How could you get up and say to the person that gives you all these luxuries, no, I don't want you, your policies are just insane. been in the state of emergency for the past 30 years. People, oppositions have been calling, opposition parties have been calling for years, saying, why? Why do we still have the state of emergency? And yet, no response whatsoever. Mubarak, he came out to talk four days after the protests, completely ignoring the fact that they exist, as if, you know, we have people from the NDP come out and say, yes, people have the right to freedom of expression. At this point, it's much more intense than just freedom of expression. People aren't—they're not expressing themselves now. They're expressing their demands. They're demanding something. They're not telling you that we're dissatisfied with the regime. We're demanding you to leave. It's a country of 85 million people. And he everyone here, if you talk to anyone, they'll tell you that Mubarak has just made us so undignified. He's ruined our image to, I believe that he's ruined our image everywhere in the world. There's so much good in Egypt that isn't exposed because of his regime. Scientists and artists just young people that have so many big dreams that can't do anything. So it's frustrating. People are poor, people are uneducated, and he thinks that he can continue to brainwash us. There's so much technology now, and even on TV talking about how social media has influenced this. It really has. People cannot be brainwashed any longer. They're very, very much unblinded to what Mubarak has done. So even if we were silent before, we cannot be silenced now.
And Jessica, just in closing, do you feel that this revolution, this hard-won revolution that the young people of Egypt have risked their lives to bring about, at least 100 have been killed so far, and you're saying it could go on for days, but at the end of the day, do you think that the young Egyptians are going to hold on to their revolution and the values for which they are standing now in the streets? Or do you think it's possible that, for example, there's a lot of analysts over here believe, and you know that Mubarak has used the Muslim Brotherhood as an excuse for his oppression, but there is a fear that because the Muslim Brotherhood are the most organized political opposition, that all of the work of these young Egyptians could be co-opted by the Muslim Brotherhood, who can end up taking charge. So give us a sense of where you think the political future of Egypt will be in terms of the possibility of this, all of the aspirations that you've expressed, which many of which I think are entirely shared by Islamists.
I think that if finally we'd be able to create dissolve the NDP and create a new government with a new president with just new blood all over it, the young people will stand with next to their beliefs. I mean, they're not going to waste all the time they spent on the streets and the money, and I mean, it just so much more sacrifices than appears to the eye, you know, leaving their families. I do believe that the change will be effective, and it will not be suppressive again, ever. Like you said, Mubarak has used the Muslim Brotherhood as an excuse for his regime. He's the one, I believe, that has even ruined the image of Islam as a religion as a whole to the West. Because now you hear Muslim Brotherhood, and the next word you think is violence. This is completely 100% not true. What he has done is scared the people here in Egypt. Even people here are brainwashed to think that, I mean, through many, many years, not just brainwashed in the sense that they're being told and they believe, but this is the way they were raised. It's written in their books and their history books that this is the enemy. And people have woken up. They just, they're not the enemy. They're just the opposition. The problem that Mubarak had with the Muslim Brotherhood was not that they're the Muslim Brotherhood as anything, actually, just because they oppose him. It's a problem. The same way people opposing him in Tahrir Square right now is a problem. I do not believe that it's going to be a violent state. There are so many different parties in Egypt that there's no light on. I just right now read that Mohamed Ebrahdi will be the head of a new parallel, I think, government that's not necessarily official, but he would be part of the movement that would involve many different opposition parties, including the Muslim Brotherhood, who initially disliked Mohamed Ebrahdi. He's the man of the moment right now, extremely moderate man, Nobel Peace Prize winner. There's no way if change comes to Egypt, the ripple effect will be very, very good. I don't see anything dark in that future, but just hopefully the protests continue to happen. People aren't getting tired, they aren't getting bored. It's moving.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us here today, Jessica El-Sayed. Again, a 17-year-old student in Alexandria, Egypt. She's a senior reporter with Youth Journalism International. You can read her work at yjiblog.org. And stay safe and stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.